Welcome to the Dog Zap Podcast.
Welcome.
I'm Katie Kaiser.
And I'm Tarini Fernando, the Arts and Lifestyle Editor.
Hey, I'm Isabel Buckmaster, the Opinions Editor.
It's Friday, November 15th. This is issue 6. How are you guys doing?
Good.
It's okay.
It's reading week.
It's reading week. Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Tarini, what's in the news?
Lots of great stories in the news. We got a story about vaping. So the Nova Scotia Progressive Conservatives have proposed legislation to ban flavored vape juice in the whole province. Yeah. The Canadian Vape Association is not happy about it, and neither are vape stores. So our contributor Lane Harrison wrote about that. We got another story about the Halifax Sorting Guide. So essentially this piece is just a list of items that you may or may not know that you can or can't recycle. Did you guys know that you can recycle receipts and plastic bags?
Yes. Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah,
you
good.
Can't recycle coffee cups. Like,
yeah, you don't. And they literally put signs now, like in like above garbage bins, like put your coffee cups in the garbage. But yeah, you can't recycle bottle lids. Like, you can recycle bottles, but not the lids for some reason.
Right.
And styrofoam. I feel like that one's more obvious. Like,
yeah, I feel like a lot of the time if people do like recycle styrofoam, it's because it was just in the box already and just they just like, chuck the box.
Yeah. But you should really clean out everything.
Yes, rinse out your bottles.
Yeah, don't just throw
well,
in like
well, they can't recycle it if there's contaminants in it. So if you don't rinse out your stuff, then it can't be recycled.
Felicia Chandler wrote that piece. We have another piece by Maddie Tang about DAO sustainability. So this is just a status report on the current and completed projects that the Dalhousie Sustainability Office is working on to deal with energy usage and climate change.
That's cool.
Yay.
Sports. Okay. We have a piece written by Sam Gillette talking about the AUS Atlantic University sports soccer season, which ended the first weekend of November. With Cape Breton hosting both the men's and women's playoffs. Sam recaps what happened and how DAL's teams fared at the tournament. Ilya Kurbanov writes about the cross-country season, which also came to an end a couple weeks ago. The Tigers won the conference championship on both the men's and women's side, and Ilya talks to Jessica Needham, who's in her second year of running at DAL. Her involvement in the sport started a long time ago, and she's recently started improving a lot. There's a profile written about hockey player Brett Crosley, written by our contributor Luke Diamond. Brett Crosley is a rookie on the men's hockey team, but he's no stranger to the Tigers. His father, Brad, played for the team in the 1980s, was the head coach in 2007, and was an assistant coach for several years as well. Luke looks at the family legacy and how it's helped Brett adjust to varsity hockey. Our contributor Ellery Platts writes about yet another perfect season for the Dalhousie lacrosse team, which hasn't lost a game in years. They're a dynasty in the Maritime University Field Lacrosse League. Wow, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Ellery writes about how the players stayed focused and continue to have fun when they don't have much tough competition. She also looks at what the club team is hoping to accomplish in the future.
Cool.
Isabel, who's visiting with us today, would you like to speak about the opinion section, your section?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Take it away.
So I wrote a piece called Thank You, Maxime Bernier, that's basically about vote splitting. We'll get more into that later. So one of our contributors, Mayo, wrote about decriminalizing hard drugs. So she got into the pros and cons of that kind of thing. And there was a lot of talk about the Portugal model. So the next opinion piece is actually Katie's.
Okay. It's about the election.
Yeah.
And my post-election thoughts, because I was very pessimistic going into the election, and it wasn't that pessimistic coming out of it.
So one of the other pieces is called The Confidence Gap. And it's basically about how men and women are raised to feel confidence differently. So one of the examples that our contributor Gabby Douglas used was that a lot of women are made to feel ashamed of their dominance and grow up compensating for taking a leadership role or stuff like that. Basically, men are taught to celebrate their mistakes and keep going, where a lot of women are made to feel ashamed. And she broke that down and talked about it.
Peace and opinions.
Yeah, so Hope in Politics by Nellie Bateman. Basically, it talks about whether or not there's a place for hope and optimism in politics. It took into account three different perspectives, just talking about what they thought about it. Some people were very pro optimism and some were very against. And yeah, there's a lot of interesting opinions.
That is very interesting.
Did Nellie like talk to different people?
Yeah, she talked to, off the top of my head, Susan Dodd was one of the people she talked to, which is, she's a professor at King's. Mm-hmm. And then she talked to, and I don't know her last name, but she talked to Audrey, another King's student, who I believe she was more pro realism in politics, not necessarily pessimism, mm-hmm. but more not being optimistic for the sake of being optimistic.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, it was a really interesting piece.
Yeah. It's a complicated thing to think about. Like,
You have art still.
Yeah. Trini, my section.
Hit us with the art section.
I'm very excited for this issue. We got a new column. It's called Facts of Fashion. It's a fashion column. So this first article in this fashion column is about... oh, by the way, the whole fashion column is just explaining old and new fashion trends. It's quite broad.
That's
it's about fashion. So this piece looks at how social movements and activism have influenced mainstream fashion and snuck into our closets through the ages, and it's by Natalia Tola. So yeah, she looks at a lot of different, just like specific items of clothing, like jeans, and she just looks at the history of jeans.
Is that going to be a regular column in the art section?
Fairly regular, yeah. Mm-hmm. Check it out, guys.
I'm excited for it to read that.
Yeah. We got another piece in our rotating history column. This one is called Who the Heck Was Samuel Cunard? Do you guys know who Samuel Cunard was?
Yes.
Katie knows.
It's fine. Please explain. Yeah.
I'm from Ontario. I have no idea who this person is.
I went on one of his ships. It was.
Yeah, he made a bunch of ships. But he was like, and you can read about this in the piece, but he kind of like revolutionized like transportation between North America and Europe. And the Cunard line still exists. This is a really cool piece by our regular contributor, Elizabeth Foster. She talked to Halifax and Toronto-based playwright Hannah Moscovich about her career and her recent play, What a Young Wife Ought to Know, which got a nomination this year for the Governor General's Literary Awards. And yeah, Hannah Moscovich seems really cool. I have an online piece, and this was written by Gawky On, and she wrote about this local theater company called Theatre du Poulet and their most recent play called Settle Elsewhere. This seems like a very cool play. I'm sad that I didn't actually get to go see it, but it was very like experimental. So they took the whole audience like on a school bus and like just transported them to like different places around Halifax.
Oh, that's very neat.
Yeah, and like they do a lot of like mask work and puppetry work. I don't think there's any puppets in this play, but the whole theater company seems very cool. This play seems really awesome. It's about like the daily lives of immigrants in Halifax. It did like end its run recently, but if you want to read about it, go read this piece online and go check out this whole theater company called Theatre du Poulet. Hey folks, just a note that the discussion that we're about to have is talking about two opinion pieces that were written by Isabel Buckmaster and Katie Kaiser. So they are opinions about the recent Canadian federal election. These opinions don't reflect the entirety of the Dow Gazette newspaper. Yeah, thank you.
We're here today talking with editor Isabel Buckmaster, who runs the opinions section.
Yeah.
She's talking about her piece. Thank you, Maxime Bernier. Isabel, what is your piece about?
Well, it's kind of started out as an idea just to, like, make fun of Maxime Bernier, if I'm being honest, because he's a ridiculous human being. But what I really wanted to talk about was vote splitting when it comes to the Canadian election. Because in previous ones, as most people are aware, the left-wing side of the Canadian election spectrum tend to get split between the three parties. So the Liberals, NDP, and Green Party. Although whether the Liberals are on the left-wing side is up for debate now. They're a little more centralist, but... it's another conversation. But this was the first time in a long time that the right-wing side of Canada had a chance to have their vote split, and it caused a bit of a panic in the media, and everyone was just kind of freaking out over whether or not the People's Party of Canada, Maxime Bernier's party, would actually impact that. And as it turns out, it really didn't. Yeah, he got less than 300,000 of the votes. That's 1.6%. And basically proved, at least in my opinion, that the alt-right really don't have a place in Canada. And that was something that I, at least, was genuinely terrified about, especially seeing what's going on in America.
Do you want to give us just like a really brief rundown of who Maxime Bernier is?
Yeah.
Just because I'm not sure. I mean, obviously the election just happened and I'm sure lots of people were keeping up with it, but some people might not have been.
Yeah, and he was also a relatively small party, as we found out. So Maxime Bernier started out as a member of the Conservative Party a few years ago, ran for Conservative leadership, lost on a very narrow margin to Andrew Scheer, threw a tantrum, and started up the People's Party of Canada, which were basically, I wouldn't say extremist, but like a very, very right-wing party. And they they called themselves what, like, really the Conservatives are supposed to be. They called Andrew Scheer, like, a fake conservative. He was an ex-conservative. And I think originally he had ties to Bloc Québécois years and years and years ago.
Yeah, and he lost even within his own riding.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no. So the results of the People's Party, this election at least, was that Maxime Bernier lost his seat. And I believe that was a seat that him and his father had held for, like, over 30 years. And they lost it. Pretty big.
That is pretty big. And I think, like, the People's Party, maybe their biggest platform they were running on was this kind of anti-immigration platform.
Yes.
It wasn't even, I mean, the Conservatives ran a platform of, you know, controlling immigration.
Yeah.
And Maxime Bernier's platform was just anti-immigration.
Yep. Full-on anti-immigration. I don't even think he tried to hide it. I think during debates, he'd pull back a little bit just because of the hatred he was getting online. Yeah, but he was anti-immigration. He doesn't believe in climate change. Mm-hmm. I believe that changed slightly towards the end where he was like, I just don't want to do anything about climate change. Mm-hmm. But he started out on a platform of, like, climate change doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Go fossil fuels. And then anti-immigration. And there was a couple of other things that...
Because I also wrote a piece about politics and this issue. I just think politics is so funny because if your platform is entirely anti-everything, then what are your plans if you were to get elected?
I think he was saying it was like the new Canada, like the real Canada, like Canadian heritage. But that's what people were saying with him, is like Canada's made up of immigrants.
Yes.
We're like, sure, there's some like Canadian history, but for the most part we're like everything together. That's like what we're supposed to be.
Yeah,
and he just wants to strip it down to what his idea of Canada is, which I imagine is just a bunch of white people sitting in a room being racist.
You said that Maxime Bernier only got like, or the People's Party only got like
1.6%.
Does it still like worry you that there was that 1.6%?
No, because I think one thing that you have to be realistic about is that, like, there are alt-right people in Canada. Like, we're not an entire country of, like, left-wing, I was gonna say pot smokers, but, you know. But, like, we're not, there's always gonna be that group, unfortunately, there's always gonna be that group of people. Yeah. Somewhere in Canada. And I think from the amount of attention he was getting, we did know that there was a population. I think I'm just thankful that it wasn't more. Because that's one thing I was genuinely surprised that there wasn't more support.
But I do think, you know, it is a thing of like, well, we have these divisions, right? Like, you look at that map of who got elected, and it's like all red in one area, all blue in another area, orange here, green there, and then just light blue here. And it's like, well, clearly we're not a united country on this one front, and I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to have divisions and differences of opinion. I think it's better to work together, and we'll have to see how that plays out in the House, mm-hmm. if they actually will work together or if they are going to choose to be oppositional for the purposes of opposing. It is clear we have divisions and we do have real issues in this country.
It's finally becoming clear, at least,
because
I think a lot of people have just kind of lived thinking that, like, Canada, we're, like, we're united, we're free.
I think it's been really easy for a really long time to see ourselves as the way the rest of the world sees us, which is very friendly, very
not
helpful.
Not America.
And, you know, we have healthcare and we have pension plan and we have, you know, when we're nice and we are peacekeepers and we help other countries,
yeah,
right? We aren't the way the rest of the world sees us. We have to look at ourselves realistically and say, why are these deep divisions? Our election map looks like a rainbow spectrum of, like, all these different colors.
You could say a bowl of Fruit Loops.
Yeah, I think that was my metaphor. Yeah. I did write a piece about the election, and I was very pessimistic going into it because I actually, and I was going to put this in the piece, but I didn't. I actually wrote a draft of the piece before election night because I figured I would have to just insert party here and it would be the same reaction.
Yeah.
And then election night came around and we ended up with a minority liberal government. It was definitely eye-opening, I think. Mm-hmm. And personally, because no plans have really been made yet, the House, they haven't sat yet. I think they were supposed to open.
They said on December 5th.
On December 5th. Yeah. Because nothing's happened yet, I'm choosing to be optimistic. A minority government can be a chance for things to happen properly, right? I would rather a government sit down and debate and argue things and have things resolved properly than pass laws quickly or pass things quickly that then have to be removed when the next government comes in.
Which is exactly what happens every election.
Right?
Yeah.
What were your guys' reactions after the election?
I mean, I was disappointed, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of the Liberals. I'm also not a huge fan of the Conservatives. I think right now I'm just kind of at that in-between state where I'm just not happy with politics and with, like, just with Canadian politics in general. But I'm also not sure what to do about it. And I think that's a position that a lot of people in Canada, especially young people in Canada, are feeling right now, where they're not happy and they don't know what to do about it. Yeah. And I think this election, at least for me, was disappointing because it felt like nothing changed. That it was a massive buildup and, like, people were, like with the climate strikes and just, like, young people speaking out. And just, there was so much movement and so little results.
Yeah.
If anything, things are more conflicted. It'll be interesting, obviously, because not a lot has happened yet.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what will happen, but I'm kind of disappointed.
What about you, Tarini? What did you think of the election?
I would say similar to Isabel, that I felt that, to me, like, I almost felt like nothing happened. I just remember, like, feeling very underwhelmed the day of.
Proud of the Green Party.
Yeah. Proud that the Green Party got another seat in Fredericton, of all places.
Way to go, Freddie.
Yeah, to go, Fredericton. It feels kind of funny, and I know, like, there's a lot of memes going around that were, like, early October, and people were like, oh, we have an election this month, and, like, everyone is just talking about the U.S. election. And it's hilarious because, like, our, like, federal, like, election campaign is, like, so much shorter relative to the United States. You know, like, it felt like it did, and you're right as well, there was, like, a lot of, like, buildup, but it also felt just like the election campaign is still going on in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's got another year to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Check out check out Elizabeth Foster's piece in the opinion section called Take It From an American Vote, where she talks about the differences.
That's a good piece. Yeah, it felt like, again, nothing much changed except the shock that the Bloc got so many seats. And I did expect that to be a minority government. I just didn't know if it was going to be liberal or conservative.
Did you think it was, like, who did you... Because I thought it was going to be conservative.
Me too. I thought there was going to be... And, like, I think that was just... Yeah, I think that was a bit of a shock because, like, generally people think that there's, like, a wave of conservatism going on, like, just in the world.
But I think that's just because a lot of our media is dictated by America,
mm-hmm.
where we just... Yeah. We see a lot of that. And I don't think it takes away from the fact that, like, there is a lot of, I don't know, right-wing media
mm-hmm.
here talking about it. I think one of the things that really hurt this election, kind of going back to vote splitting, was with the NDP and the Green Party. A lot of people are saying that, for context, like, young people, millennials, were the biggest voting bloc in Canada this year, and it was the first time that they have held that position. And I think, at least me personally, I was expecting for there to be a lot more like show of support for like NDP or Green Party. But I think one thing that really happened, and I can't quote any statistics off the top of my head, but I have seen it, where their votes really were split between the NDP and the Green Party. And I think that kind of, it took a hit when it came to our election.
And I think also with vote splitting was almost this fear-mongering of vote splitting, right?
Yeah.
Prior to the election, I talked to, and people were saying that, you know, out of all the candidates, they preferred Jagmeet Singh or Elizabeth May, that if they really had their way, that they would vote for them. But it just didn't seem likely that they would win.
Strategic voting,
that it didn't seem likely that they would win. And so, you know, if they wanted to get a job, that they should vote for the Conservatives. If they wanted, you know, if they wanted to vote for someone who would win, they would vote for the Liberals. But that fact that fear-mongering exists, or that people are told that their vote won't count if they vote for a certain party, is so manipulative. But even more than that, it's really discouraging. You know, it's discouraging that people rather vote for someone who they know is going to win than vote for someone who's going to represent their beliefs and what they want to see in their country. And so I think that is a little bit of what gives me hope for right now until December, about this minority government, is that, like, at least those differences are being represented. You know, I think our divisions do have to be represented. I think our divisions do have to be talked about. We need to have an open and honest conversation as a country on, like, why we're so divided. And if even those divisions are wrong, we have to be okay with those differences and compromise.
Yeah. It's also nice to just, with a minority government, to be able to see what we're working with.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, like, when it came to, like, the majority government with the Liberals, it was pretty, like, common knowledge that a lot of people strategic voted just to get Harper out of government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think with this minority one, it makes it a lot easier to see what we're working with and to see at least where Canada might be going or where we need to improve in the future.
Thank you, Isabel, for coming in and talking to us about your opinion and about your opinion section. Cool. Thank you for coming in.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all, folks. That's it for this issue. Mm-hmm. If you want to contribute to Dow Gazette,
you can go on dowgazette.com/contribute, where we have info about how you can contribute, or you can email any section editor at their section name at dowgazette.com, like arts@dowgazette.com or opinions@dowgazette.com. Yeah.
If you want to find a copy of the Dow Gazette, you can find them around campus. There's also some other places around town that have them, but campus is the best place to find them. Trini, where can people find you?
You can email me at arts@dowgazette.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at @KatKaiser.
Where can people find you, Isabel?
Oh, God. I have an Instagram. It's just Isabel Buckmaster. But I don't post on it at all. Yeah. And that's about it. Yeah. Just, like, shoot me an email at opinions@dowgazette if you have an opinion and you want to share it, because, like, I love stuff like that. So just come get angry.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys. That's it.
Sweet. That's it.
Till next time.